Thank you, Kay. Thank you, Ms. Kay. Beautiful as always.
Thank you very much.
If you turn your Bible this morning to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 1. If you stand when you get it, please. Matthew 16:1. Says that the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given it. Will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And he left them and departed. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It's because we haven't taken any bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand and remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I do not speak concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Father, thank you for the reading of your word as always. I just pray this morning as the Holy Spirit leads and guides us, Lord, that we will understand your true meaning that you have for us today. Someone here in their heart that needs this to understand it in a certain way, Father, to learn the teaching. Just be with me and help me only to be that, only your messenger, that we may just simply glorify you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we see here after we've been studying that Jesus had been to the Gentile territory a couple of times, but had made his journey in the Gentile territory, teaching and preaching and doing signs and wonders and healing the people. And now we see when he comes back into the area of Israel that the Sadducees, mainly the Pharisees, are at it again, right? They had been waiting for him, and they had been talking, and they had been preparing. And no doubt that as his fame grew more and more and more, their jealousy grew more and more and more. And it was some of their hearts, it was not in them to look and see and to try to understand. It was to look and see if they could dispel who he was. For they had already made up their mind in their heart to be unbelieving rather than to be believing or try to look at the scriptures and what they should have. And so we're going to get this warning again to the disciples from Jesus to beware of the teachings and the things that come not only from these, the leader of Israel, but from other things that we will see. The Pharisees and the Sadducees ordinarily did not agree with each other at all. They believed in totally different things. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Pharisees believed in other things that we might would agree with them more. Jesus probably agreed with the Pharisees more than he did with the Sadducees. The Sadducees were a different sect. They did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in some other things. And so it was the two sects were at odds with each other most of the time. But isn't it amazing, as we see even in our lives, two people or two different groups that don't agree with each other, if they can find a common enemy, they will come together, put aside their differences, as long as they can go against one simple thing. And that's what was happening here. They might have talked among themselves and said, "Look, guys, we need to put our differences aside for the protection and the security of Israel and serve Almighty God, and we need to go against this imposter that is doing all of these things that they had already said and made the excuse of what? He's not doing them as a sign of God. He's doing them from who? Beelzebub, remember? Satan." Some of them had actually said that. Not all, but some of them had actually said that. So their union, as a matter of fact, the one thing that brought all the Jewish leaders together was against Jesus and his doctrine. Okay? That's what it was. The fact that the scriptures say that they came testing him, the word testing up there, reminds us of the way the verb is used at the very first in Matthew that we studied, the way Satan came to Jesus in the desert. It's the same word as test, that verb used there. They came in the same way, testing Jesus, in the same way that Satan came to Jesus in the desert, testing him. The word is parazo. It means to try whether a thing can be done or not. That's what it means. To test and try whether a thing can be done or not. So Matthew is very specific here in saying they just didn't come talk to Jesus. They came with a specific purpose and a reason to test Jesus, as Satan came before Jesus in the same way. Of course, Satan was trying to what? He was trying to entice Jesus to rely on his own power instead of his Father in the desert. Remember, we did that study and the provisions that the Father supplied Jesus, and Jesus relied completely upon his Father instead of his own power. So here these leaders were trying to entice him to do such a wondrous work in such a miraculous way that it would by no doubt identify himself as Messiah. In other words, we're asking for a sign, Jesus, and we don't want to see what you've been doing. Yeah, you fed 5,000 with the bread. Yeah, you fed 4,000 with that miracle with the bread. Yes, you've been casting out demons. Yes, you've been healing people. Yes, you're going to bring Lazarus back from the dead and life. But we want to see a sure sign, right? That's kind of humorous. We want to see something so wondrous, maybe like God parting the Red Sea. Something so wondrous that be no doubt that you're proclaiming yourself as being Messiah. Okay. Now let's think back. What was Satan trying to do? He was trying to get Jesus to declare himself early, but it wasn't the Father's will. What has Jesus been telling all these people when he healed them? Do not tell anybody yet. If you believe I'm the Messiah, it's not time for me to be proclaimed yet. Do not tell of this, even though they went and told it. So what is Satan using these Pharisees and Sadducees still to do, even at this time, to try to get Jesus to do some miraculous sign? Okay, for him to get tired of them, say, okay, I'm just going to shut y'all up. Let me do this wondrous sign and you'll know. No, he was not declaring himself ahead of time. That's what Satan wanted him to do, to go outside of the will of his Father, to take it upon himself to do it. Of course, Jesus wouldn't follow that, but that's part of the sign that they wanted him to do here. Prove yourself to us, because we are the leaders of Israel. You're the one that has to prove yourself to us. So we're going to see that, and you know that Jesus had already given them enough signs for them to believe the fact that they had could believe and willfully believe in him, but they had a willful unbelief. He'd already given them enough signs to look back in their own scripture and see that he is the fulfillment of all of that. If they would have looked what they knew and learned and realized it and believed it, enough signs had been done for them to believe. But what had happened? Their religion got in the way. Their religion got in the way of them being able to see who he was. Now, scripture leads us a little bit to believe later on that many of them actually knew who he was, but they rejected him anyway. That's amazing to me, but they did, and that's what they would do. We see that in our world today. There are some people that actually say they believe God exists. It might actually come to the point where they might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but because of their own pride and their sinful wants, they reject him and they will not do it on purpose. Excuse me. There's no excuse for anyone in this age in which we live, really. They have the creation seen by the scientists that we have like never before. Look at what's going on with Elon Musk and them. They just got the astronauts. That's fascinating to me. But scientists tell us that our universe that they have studied, and they know quite a bit about it now, about that much, and they know a lot, but it's about that much, okay, compared to God's creation. What have they told us? If you go back and if you follow Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum, if you go back on their webpage, they got some wonderful scientists that have written books. I've got a couple of them. It's pretty technical. I'll get through a page a day kind of, but it's fascinating stuff. Our universe, they tell us, is held together so intricately that if any part of it was not the way it was, it would fly apart. Okay. that just happened from a bank? No. There's not going to be an excuse for anybody to stand before God and say, at least I should have known God exists and somebody put this together. There's no excuse. Not only that, they also have the Word of God right here. They also have the church preaching the gospel, and they also have the Holy Spirit at work in the world. There's not going to be any excuse. But people have a willful disregard, and it's a prideful thing to do what? That says, I want to do what I want to do. That's exactly. Everybody now has a podcast except me, I guess. Everybody can get on their podcast and get a microphone, and they can say whatever they want to say. And you'll see some news clips every now and then, and Lordy mercy, they are. They are spewing out human wisdom left and right. So these were the teachers of Israel that were supposed to be the guardians of God's word. That's who God took, the priest. You are the guardians of God's word. And we're in Joshua, and I've been preparing that for tonight. And Joshua is just exciting to me. And we're going to talk about the Ark of the Covenant tonight. And what was that? They put not only the manna in there and the staff of Aaron's that budded, but also the Word of God, the Ten Commandments and other things that Joshua was to take out of that book, out of there and read. Okay? They were the guardians of the Word of God. And these people were supposed to be that. By the way, that's what the church is supposed to be today also. Amen. Jesus is going to tell them that there's no excuse because they were to be able to discern the times, the signs, and the times. Now we need to differentiate. The Bible tells us clearly, do not be a person that says everything's fixing to happen and sell your stuff and go up on a mountain and say the Lord's coming back and on a certain day. You're not supposed to pick those signs and times, but we are surely supposed to be able to discern the signs and the times in which we live. By the way, my belief, and you know it plainly, I've never hidden it from you, is in the rapture of the church and he could come at any moment. Wouldn't it be great for me to be preaching right now and us all to go? You know? Could happen. He's going to tell them, you need to understand how to discern. And you've heard me talk about this before. To discern means to what? We're to be a discerning people. It means that you and I are supposed to have the ability, with the Holy Spirit living within us, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and through prayer, we are supposed to be able to separate out the truth. We're supposed to be able to make a distinction, to give a judgment on, to know the difference in what the world is preaching and what God's Word actually says. We're supposed to know that. We need to do this urgently today, I believe. I believe we live in a time that is drawing near, and there's more false doctrine out there than it's ever been before, I think. I really do. Just because it's on TV doesn't mean it's biblical, y'all. There's a theological. Just because it's on TV doesn't mean it's biblical. Some of it may be. I'm not discounting that. But go back and make sure. Just because it's a certain actor that you like and he says something biblical, go back and test it. It doesn't mean it's true. Satan uses little bitty things to deceive. 1 John 4:1 says, we're told to try or test the spirits. It's not this word test is not the same word that I just said up here when testing Satan was testing Jesus. This word test means to honestly examine to see whether something is genuine or not. That's what you're doing when you're testing the spirits of God's word. You're honestly going in prayer saying, Lord, I'm open-minded. Show me. Show me. Let me be honest in your word and learning. That takes work. It takes effort. It takes dedication, and God sees it as faith. When you take time out of your day and said, okay, I can watch this program, or no, there's something here that I need to help somebody with or discern myself, let me get in the Word of God and do some study and find out what it means. That's what it means to do it. Do not believe every spirit, the Bible says, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Okay? And that's what these Pharisees and Sadducees were doing. And they were leading many people astray. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says this, test everything, hold fast to what is good. What is good? Scripture. And we go through prayer and the Scripture to help us to be able to do that. If they had truly tested the signs and wonders of Jesus, They could have clearly seen in the scriptures that he was the Messiah. If they had really tested it and gone and won it. Now, many of them did. We're told later on that many of the Pharisees were saved. The Bible actually says that. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. My personal opinion, I fully believe that Nicodemus later was saved, was a saved man. I fully believe we'll see Nicodemus in heaven. Maybe I'm wrong. That's my personal opinion about that. But for what he had that contact with Jesus. So Jesus said to look at creation and determine the weather. He said, you can do that. You're looking at God's creation and you know God exists and you're looking at the weather and you can determine these things. You can determine in the morning whether a storm's coming. You can determine in the evening whether it's going to be good weather or fair weather. Why can't you look at the signs that I'm showing you and determine that something is good is coming? That good weather's coming. Why can't you determine that? He says you're more concerned with keeping your religion and all of your traditions, which we've studied recently, that have been added more. You're more concerned about that than worshiping the one that the religion is all about. The religion had become the main thing in life. Coming to church and going through the steps had become the main thing in life rather than looking forward to coming through the doors on Sunday morning and truly giving your heart to worship cooperatively with all of us together and worshiping God. Saying, I've come to Sunday school, check that off. I was in preaching. Yes, I was here. Had become more important than them actually coming and worshiping God. And God knows the difference. So Jesus told them, he said, you're a wicked an adulterous generation. In other words, not the physically part so much, but you're a spiritual. You're committing spiritual adultery. You worship a God that suits you. They had taken God and worked him around with all of their different, remember the mission I told you about? All of their traditions had become just as important to them as the scriptures had. So they had worked God, okay, over into a place, and you've heard me say this before, where they could put him in a box, put him in their pocket and carry him with them, that he was to do what they wanted to do and be what they wanted him to be as long as they could keep their traditions, and for the Pharisees and the priests and the Sadducees, their status. Religion had become more important than the one true living God. And Jesus said that's a willful and adultery. You want me to give you more signs. You're asking for more signs. You won't believe what God has shown you already. You want more, and you want more, and you want more, and it gets to a point where God has to prove himself to you rather than you have to prove yourself to God. And that's in our world today. People say, if I'm going to come to church, if I'm going to serve God, if I'm going to give my life to Christ, then by golly, God's going to have to show me something. He owes me something. He has to give me something. I need this in my life to change before I'm going to serve him, before I'm going to do this. That's not how it works. He will do that, but that's not how it works. We must be very careful that God has not become a set of rules or religious traditions that we follow. We must allow the scripture to say what it says, even when it's uncomfortable to us in certain times. I'll say that again. We must allow the scripture to say what it says, even when it's uncomfortable to us at certain times. As long as we are strict and stay strict to the scripture. Now, when the disciples had come with Jesus, they had come over and they had not brought any bread. Bread is a big thing in the last few chapters here. He fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. The disciples are seeing this. They took up all the extra baskets that were left over. And we talked about what that meant in both things. The 5,000 was to Israel. They were in Israel. The 4,000 were to the Gentiles. And Jesus is showing that I'm the bread of life for everybody, Jew and Gentile. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. He said, you see this, and then they get to coming over, and he's trying to teach them from what they just saw about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which these apostles to be were going to have to deal with in the future when they are the ones that are going to be the foundation, upon the foundation, Jesus, of the church. They were going to be the ones that were going to be the start of the church here. He was trying to teach them a lesson of the false doctrine that would come into the church later and was here now. And what were they doing? They were looking like the Pharisees were and wanting a sign because Jesus said you can see the weather, but you can't tell the signs. What were the disciples doing? They were looking at the physical. We didn't bring the physical bread, and he's upset about that. Now, he just He had just taken loaves and a few loaves, and the more they distributed, the more it became. They had just seen that miracle, and they're worried about being fed because they didn't bring the provision with them. Get that? Don't miss that. Jesus said, you got to understand, I'm trying to teach you here. Get the religion out and listen to what I have to tell you. He said, I'm not trying to say this because you didn't bring the bread. I'm trying to teach you the lesson of what might go through the bread, the leaven that we put in it, right? That the teachings of these Pharisees and these Sadducees, these false traditions, these false doctors that come in, that Satan brings in so slyly, is just like leaven in bread. Those of you that bake, you know what I'm talking about. It'll eat its way through the whole loaf if you're not careful. You can't let it come in is what Jesus is saying. And he said to them, oh, you a little faith, don't worry about the things unnecessarily that you know I'll supply, but worry about these doctrines, the warning against the doctrine, or the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees is this example. Jesus says, of any false teaching, just like any false prophet, it'll eat through the whole loaf. Okay? And this is big time today. Don't think because we live in a certain age that Satan has backed off. He has increased it even more in our day and age. It is out there big time. Don't you think he's not ahead in the media? Okay? And on the phones and all this stuff that goes on? Don't you think he's not deceiving and watering down and doing that? We have to be more careful today. And those of you that are mature as Christians, we need to be out there helping young people understand this. We can't sit back and just come to church. We have to know it and be able to teach it. Warn your kids and warn your grandkids. I don't care if they get a little teed off at you for a while. It's worth telling them about it. I'm going to get off on something here. We have things on TV and media right now masquerading as Christian things, and it's false doctrine. You should be able to pick up on it. You may have to watch it for a while, but you can see the little tidbits here, and you can see the little tidbits there that should give warnings. We see certain obvious signs, but sometimes neglect to test by the scripture all things just because someone famous or has a certain title might be saying it on TV or on the radio or in the news media or on podcast. I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm saying test it. Do your due diligence and test it. We should be paying attention to the signs and the times right now for the return of the Lord for his church, because it could be at any moment. Like I said, Jesus' first coming was filled with signs, as Peter summed up in his sermon of Pentecost. What did he say? He said, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, by wonders, by signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also should know. And you know, you've seen these signs and you've seen these miracles. That's his first coming. His second coming will be in the midst of the signs in the middle of the tribulation, which we will not see, praise the Lord, or at least I hope you do not. And the rapture is a different coming, but it is also preceded by certain signs of the times that we're living in, I believe, right now. Y'all know how big I am on watching Israel. You might get tired of hearing it. There are other people that are totally on the opposite side of the spectrum than me. But one big sign to me is Israel right now, what they're going through over there right now. That's a sign that things are getting close. For God can chew bubble gum and walk at the same time. I've heard some preachers say God's not doing two things at the same time. Yes, he is. He's dealing with Israel. He can set them over here. And he's got the church working in the world, still doing what we're supposed to do. But Israel right now, since 1948, is the fig tree. Go back and study it. It is already bloomed. We see it blooming out right now. We are supposed to be able to determine the signs of the times by that, to realize that things are winding down. I'm not saying they're going to be today, but he could come back at any moment. Go to Paul's teachings in Thessalonians and others, and you'll see it. Israel right now, God is aligning them up. It might be a few years down the road. It might be even farther than that. It couldn't be, though. But I can tell you this once again, that all of the nations that are in Ezekiel 38, Turkey, Russia, Iran, Sudan, and Libya, and then certain other factions are all lined up today. Russia, even though the things are going on in Syria, I can tell you, Russia still has a lot of military installations in Syria. Iran has a lot of military installations in Syria. Where does Syria sit? Right north of Israel. Right next to Lebanon, which all the things are going on in now. Sudan and Libya is down in the northern part of Africa, right? Which is right down below Israel, not very far. Guess what's happening there? Yes, Trump is working with some of that over there, but also Putin and Russia have been allowed to put a port there recently, and also a lot of military installations there. They have had people there for years teaching those people and training those people up in certain things. Why do you think Satan's using it to destroy Christians over there right now? All of those countries are lined up. Not trying to scare you, but I'm telling you, Jesus said, learn to determine the signs and the times. What does that mean for us? Nothing to scare you. He's in control of everything, but it should kind of zap you up a little bit and put you in a little bigger hurry to tell people about him. We're not supposed to sit back on the laurels. Jesus is saying, look, guys, you've got to learn to distinguish these false doctrines that come in. There's many false teachers. I saw this video the other day. And if you want to doubt me on it, I'll find the video for you. We can go through all that process, but you're just going to have to trust me. One recent example of a false teacher that I saw that we have to be very careful of, her name is Dr. Rachel Peters. She claims to be a pastor. She's a graduate of Union Seminary. She's seen on a video claiming to be a scholar, a teacher, and a preacher of the word. She introduces herself this way. She says, I am a feminist theologian, and I take joy in reinterpreting the text of the scripture that has been used in the past to hurt and divide. She claims there's always been other ways to read the story of Eve in the garden. She said, the woman saw the fruit of the tree, and it was good, and it was good to Eve's eyes, to the delight of Eve's eyes. The tree was there to be desired and to make one wise. So Eve took of the fruit and she ate it, and she also gave some to her husband who happened to be with her. That's the way she put it. She said, when we say we need to trust women on the decision of abortion nowadays, it is reinterpreted in the story of the garden. It recognizes the moral wisdom that Eve chose. In other words, God gave her the right to make a choice whether she could pick that fruit or not. You see the way Satan turns things around, and you see the way false doctrine comes in. She said it marks this attained knowledge a part of what it means to be like God. So Eve used her right to choose and ate the fruit, and now she has knowledge to be like God. She's preaching this in a church. That is false doctrine. Now, if young women and men sat under that for a long, long time, you can see the way it can start to turn them, start to turn them, start to turn them. And when you go back to Genesis and you start changing Scripture, then it doesn't get hard for you to change Scripture to suit your purpose all the way through the Bible. That is blasphemy. That is sin. I'm not trying to pick on her. I'm pointing out what I'm supposed to point out to you. As pastor, I am commanded to point this out and warn you of these things, and by golly, I'm going to try to do it. Not trying to hurt anybody, but this is what I'm supposed to do. This is throughout all, it's not just with this. There's things like this throughout. And there's some people that know just enough of the Bible that might come to you and get to believing this and argue with you, and you need to be able to go back to Genesis and say, let's read the true word of God and see what it says. That's all you've got to do. This is kind of extreme here, but Satan uses things, and that's what Jesus was said. This false doctrine of the Sadducees and the Pharisees had come into Israel in such small increments that the people had started believing all the traditions and all the things that they wanted to see. And Jesus, you need to show us a sign to make sure we see and know this. We have to test the spirits. Genesis 3, 1 through 19. I'm not going to read it all, but you can go read it. If you hadn't read it in a while, go back and read it. It tells the true story of the fall of man. It tells the true story of God putting the tree in the garden. Yes, it was a choice. And what did God say? He said, don't choose that. He said, don't choose that. You can read the true story. If you think I'm picking on women, you can read the true story where, yes, Eve was deceived. But who did God call out? Adam. Because it was Adam's responsibility to say, Eve, no, this is what he actually said. He didn't do it. And that was the fall of man. And that's why we live in sin. That's why we are sinners when we are born that way. That's why we live under the curse. It's because what? They chose wrong. It's not changing the scripture around to give people the excuse scripturally for an abortion. I'm just going to say it. It is not. But you see the way they turn it. That's why we test the spirits. That's why we use scripture for it. All false doctrine is a sin against God. Always tested against scripture. The rejection of the Messiah and his word, it was to their doom. And it still is to people today. But what did Jesus say? Not only of his word, not only of himself, but he said this, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father, what? But by me. Amen. And it's not hard. God's word is loving. God's word opens everything to us. If we keep his commandments and we keep it truly and we're diligent, it is a wonderful book for us, the wonderful sayings of God, the way we should live our lives. And it is a joy to know it and to get in it and remember to dig it out and to realize what it actually says. It, if you have a question, it will answer it for you. It will. Amen.